My name is Mike, and this is my wife, Vicky, and we are happy to be with you today and in the coming weeks as we release our pastor, John, to have some free time and to reflect and to recharge and replenish in his heart and in his life and his ministry. So we're happy to be able to be a part of that. We've had the privilege and opportunity to be a friend with the Nordstroms for many, many years, and it means so much to us to be able to take this little opportunity to give back a little bit of what they have given so freely to us. We know when Vicky and I first came to Ottawa, that was back 1974, something like that. Just a we needed it. And we couldn't have found or fallen. Indebted to them. Oh. Should we get rid of this? Okay. Thank you. All right? Okay. Thank you very much, Paul. So, where were we? Yes. We just needed a model. And John and Phyllis have been such good friends of ours. We just thank you guys for being who you are and releasing out of your life what was directed toward us. And so we're here today, not just as a guest speaker. There'll be other speakers that will come around here in the coming weeks as well. But the church elders and pastor have asked that we stand in as an interim pastor. And that being the case, for this period in time, we would like to offer ourselves as your pastor and to provide you whatever guidance and prayer and counsel that we might be able to from time to time. Just want to let you know we do arrive here from Janesville, Wisconsin. We travel about an hour and 45 minutes interstate all the way down to Ottawa. Usually arrive in the afternoon on Saturday, late afternoon, maybe 5 o'clock or so. We are here until Monday afternoon. And we keep office hours while we're here at the church. And then on Monday morning, we are at the church at 9 o'clock in the morning and probably be here till 1 o'clock or so, 2 o'clock. Whatever the need might be, we're flexible on that. Just want to let you know we do appreciate your openness and your flexibility, and you having faith to release John and Glenda to find some rest. Amen. Don't you appreciate them very much? The sacrifice of their many years of work here and pushing forward and breaking into the next thing that God has for Christ Community Church. And he has some great things going on right now in Christ Community and greater things that he wants to be able to break into. And you're a part of that. You are a part of that. And so we're not just going to be here kind of hovering, you know, being a helicopter church here for a while, just hovering over where we are now. But we want to be able to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and go where he tells us to go. Isn't that what you want to do? I think you do. Knowing what I know about you and listening to you in worship and listening to some of the conversations you have before and after church, I know you have faith and passion for making an impact. And so that's why what we want to help facilitate any way we can. So bless your heart. I want to thank Heather personally for our graphic that she designed for our coming weeks. The next several weeks we're going to be using this as our theme, the road to the resurrection. And thank you, Heather, for putting that together. Appreciate that. And so we will take some steps as we approach Resurrection Day. We will take some steps to examine some of the steps that Jesus took, the path he took, the road he took to the resurrection. Aren't you glad it didn't end at the crucifixion and the burial? Aren't you glad for that? Didn't end there. And so we're going all the way to the resurrection and beyond. So bless your heart today. We're going to pick up where we have been in the book of John. I know we have been in John around the chapter 13 in the upper room as Jesus is preparing his disciples for the coming events, the unfolding of God's purposes through Jesus Christ. Let's see here. I guess we'll put this down here for now. And so we want to read to you from several scriptures here today as we consider where we are on the road to the resurrection. Jesus has been in the upper room with his disciples, and he revealed some new things and new thoughts to the disciples that they were not sure if they could receive. So Jesus begins by telling him these things. Let's read them together. All this have I spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 16:7. But very truly I tell you, it is good that I am going away. It's good for John and Glenda to go away too, but not for the same reasons. It is very good for you. It is good that I am going away. And unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will take, he will make known to you. Let's just bow and pray. Father, we just thank you today so much for what you are doing in the world today. We know there's trouble on many sides. We know there's difficulty among the nations. You have even challenged us and told us that to ask of you, and you will give us the nations. And so today we ask you to release from this place a reverberation, a wave, a sound that will influence our world in a way that will affect your world. So we thank you so much for the release of your word upon us today in Jesus' name. So you see, Jesus is telling of his departure, is what he's getting at. That he is going to be, there's going to be a change in the physical presence on this earth. That this physical Jesus that you've been able to sit down and have lunch with and look in the eye and just kind of watch his reactions, that's going to be no more. You'll not see his face in physical form anymore. He was telling us that the Advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper will come. He's coming to be an influence on your spiritual life. Let's talk about Holy Spirit for just a little bit. Who is Holy Spirit? Well, Holy Spirit is distinct from and inseparable from Father and Son. Holy Spirit is God, is unified with God, and is God in every aspect of his nature, purpose, and actions. Holy Spirit is our advocate. Put your hand on your chest and say, he's my advocate. He's my advocate. He's my comforter. He's my counselor. He's my guide. And Holy Spirit is active in the church today. He's active in the church today, convincing people and reminding people and encouraging people, bringing comfort and reassurance to the nations. And so we want to participate with the Holy Spirit, don't we? We want to hear His voice. Jesus is saying there's going to be a little bit of a handoff, if you will, where I am going away, but I am going to send the Holy Spirit who will pick up and carry on what Father's plans are for this earth and for you. God has plans for you, and it's His passion to see you and I walking in His purpose and plans, that we are finding fulfillment and reassurance of why we're here. Amen? And so Holy Spirit is our friend. Nothing to be afraid of. I know some get a little hesitant and say, oh, that's a little bit woo-woo when you start talking about Holy Spirit stuff. That's a little bit subjective. I don't know. You just got to be careful with that. But that's why God gives us parameters in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 about how to deal with the Holy Spirit, how to deal with prophecy and how to deal with certain things and how to manage those things in a very practical way. And so the Holy Spirit is not here to put you on red alert and make you suspicious. No, the Holy Spirit is here to reassure you and to speak comfort into your heart and to give you guidance for tomorrow. Amen. So how does the Holy Spirit work in us? Well, the Holy Spirit works in us in a couple of ways to begin with. And first one is producing spiritual fruit. You can find that reference in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But you see, when we come to Christ and we begin to, we have Him come into our life, suddenly this born-again experience is a reality where we are regenerated. Paul says, I think it's in Colossians, where we are recreated in Christ. And so suddenly we begin to be taking on some spiritual DNA that is like Jesus Christ. And so Holy Spirit works in us through this spiritual DNA, if you will, where we begin to produce the same kind. Now, producing after its kind is not a new concept. Where did we find that? Where do we find after its kind? We find it in Genesis, don't we? In the creation story, where the Lord laid out the plan for all of this earth and all of the universe, that especially on this earth, that the apple tree is going to produce after its kind, and the peach tree is going to produce after its kind, and the lemon tree is going to produce, and all of these things are going to produce after their kind. So the question is, if I am born again and in the image of God, can I produce the same fruit or similar fruit that Jesus possessed? Was He kind? Was He loving? Was He patient? Yes, He was. And the Holy Spirit begins to grow those fruits within us, and it becomes a work of the Holy Spirit. I love the spiritual fruit, because I get to take some of the benefit of some of the spiritual fruit. You get to take part in some of the spiritual fruit that's in my life, in your life. Others are able to participate in the blessings of God in your life because of the spiritual fruit. And when we allow Holy Spirit to have His way, we begin to produce that. You don't have to ask an apple tree, would you please produce apples this season? Would you please? You know, an apple tree will say, well, sure, that's who I am. I produce fruit. I produce apples, for sure. You see, Holy Spirit wants to reassure you that His presence in your life is the source from which the fruit of the Spirit will be produced. And so allow Holy Spirit to produce after its kind. How else does the Holy Spirit work in our life? He works in us by empowering various gifts, services, and workings. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are in operation as a result of the presence of the Holy Spirit on the earth today. They work in us, and God has gifted many of you, all of you, with spiritual gifts as He chooses, according to His determination. He puts spiritual gifts in you, and that's what I like so much about the next steps, because this next steps concept is a way to help bring all that stuff into focus and help you and I to understand, how has God gifted me? In what way can I take this gift and begin to use it effectively for God? Tell you what, there's nothing more powerful than a man or woman who is operating in their spiritual gifts. Because when you're doing what you're created for and what you were recreated for in the regeneration and the new birth, this life begins to pop. Woo! It begins to pop, and you feel like, wow, I'm feeling like I'm doing what I was made for. Well, it's because you are. You're doing what you're made for. So allow Holy Spirit to begin to release these things in your life. This is one of the areas where I focus at our church in Janesville, Faith Community Church. I'm involved in what we call GPS, gifts, passions, and services. I love being a part of that, helping people see what they never saw before and how God can use them in a mighty, mighty way. And you see, you develop these gifts simply by practice. I was going to bring up the Bears, but I'm not sure if I should bring up the Bears. How about the Cubs? Maybe. Yeah, Cubs are done good. You know, these players, they don't just get out there and say, hey, yeah, I'll sign a contract. Where do you want me to play? Oh, yeah. How about you play third base today? Oh, sure. I'll be good. And, you know, they're hot to trot. I mean, they can get those ground balls right down third baseline. They don't do that just all without practice. That comes with practice, practice, practice. And I encourage you, as the Lord begins to show you where your gifting and where your bend is for the Spirit and for doing God's work on this earth, that you begin to practice. You get in there and make it happen. You just don't be afraid. Just step right into it. Just work with this next class and the teacher and the pastors and elders that are here and get guidance and encouragement, and you'll be walking in the fullness of God's purposes for your life. So practice, passion, and effort. All part of the spiritual gifts in which God, through the Holy Spirit, works in our life. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, there's five other things that I want to just mention to you of what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit is my advocate. He always points me to Christ and glorifies Him. There's a lot of spirits in the world today. But the true Holy Spirit will reassure you of Jesus Christ. John, the same writer of the gospel, also wrote the epistle, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And John in 1 John chapter 4 talks about how to test the spirits to see whether they be of God or they not be of God. In let's read John 15. I got a little bit ahead of myself here. He always points me to Christ. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will do what? Testify. He'll speak only of Jesus Christ. He will uphold Jesus Christ and what He has done. Let's go on to the next verse of Scripture. Here it is, 1 John chapter 4, and verse 3 says, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is none of God." And so how do we test? Well, let's see. Is what I'm sensing encourage me to draw close to Jesus? Is it telling me the truth about Jesus? Is it acknowledging what Jesus has done on the earth and that He is the Son of God? If it is, it's probably the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will testify of Jesus Christ and glorify Him. Let's go on to the next one. What else does Holy Spirit do? Holy Spirit convinces me of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Let's read it together if you'd like. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." That's a mouthful. God has specifically designed things in creation and in the unseen world that are specifically for you. But how do we know this? Verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." See, the Holy Spirit plays a key role in all of this. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Through the Holy Spirit. I can remember the very first time I ever experienced the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. I was in a Lutheran Lenten service, sitting up in the balcony, between my mom and my dad. I was probably about 8 years of age. And Reverend Ford, the pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota, began to tell the crucifixion story. And as he used his words, he also used chalk on paper. And he began to draw. And on that chalk and on that paper, then he would turn on a light, a blue light, a black light. And all of a sudden, those colors would just come to life. And as he began to explain that the colors and the dimensions and the aspects of that picture, I felt the presence of God come upon me as a child. And I believe God, through the Holy Spirit, was revealing to me at a young age what Jesus came to do and why he did it. The adversity that he suffered for me, for you. How did I come to know that? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit used a man and his gifting and his passions to demonstrate what Jesus came to do and what he did. And it touched my heart and caused me to draw closer to God. And he'll do the same for you. Holy Spirit longs to connect you with the Father's heart. He longs to bring you close to him and let you feel the passion of the cross. Feel the exhilaration of the resurrection. That's what the Holy Spirit will do as he testifies of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Amen. Holy Spirit also will check my conscience and conclusions and my self-talk. What? Yes, he will. You talk to yourself? Raise your hand if you talk to yourself. Some of you just don't do it, evidently. All of us have self-talk, don't we? We do. And what we conclude about circumstances and situations in life all just seem... it all leads to what comes out of my life, what kind of fruit will be produced. But the weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Everybody say divine power. Divine power, not just temporary power or gunpowder power or bomb power. This is divine power over and above to demolish strongholds. What kind of strongholds? Bunkers that where soldiers are? And no, mental strongholds, thought strongholds, conclusion strongholds. And I've concluded I'm just not worth it. Why would God be interested in me? I'm just a nobody, or I'm always so stupid. I always say the wrong things, and I'll never amount to anything. You know what? Those are lies that if you have spoken those, don't ever allow yourself to believe that. Do not ever conclude to bring that thing home and let it find a place on the shelf in your heart. Because Jesus wants to, through the Holy Spirit, demolish those lies and help you understand how much he loves you and how much he saw you as he was approaching the cross. He loves you very, very much. So... amen. Praise God. So we demolish those arguments. We say, well, you can't convince me, counselor. No, you can't give you. Well, through the Holy Spirit, just let the Holy Spirit do his work. And he'll convince, he'll demolish those arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Because even in Proverbs chapter 23, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You say, well, my thought life's not that important. Oh, yes, it is. I remember in high school, I loved playing football, and I had the opportunity to be on the team. And one day in practice, my coach, the defensive coach, said, Bachmeyer, get over here. So I walked up to him, and he grabbed a hold of my helmet, my face mask. And he says, I want you guys to realize that where the head goes, the body follows. And so he grabbed my face mask and turned it, and then he pulled me. And then he turned it, and then he pulled me. And it really was true. Wherever my head went, my body followed. Go figure. Wow. And so Holy Spirit is here today to tell you. He wants to turn your thoughts toward Christ. He wants to turn your thoughts toward the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he has done a mighty work on your behalf, and wants you to conclude, he did that for me. He did that for me. You know what? He did that for you. And Holy Spirit is here to convince you of that, to remind you of that. Just open your heart and sit quietly. Ask Holy Spirit to help you understand more and more about Jesus Christ. Get into his word, the Bible, and hear what he has to say. He'll have verses leap off the page as you open your heart to allow Holy Spirit to speak through the word. Praise God for that. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Next one, he reassures convictions in me. Reassures convictions in me. What are convictions? Well, convictions are deep, settled conclusions. Things that I don't have to rethink again. Things that I don't have to say, well, let's see. No, you've settled it a long time ago. It's become true to you then, and it's true to you now. And so you just say, I don't have to rethink that anymore. It's just true. And so what does Holy Spirit do? He reassures me of convictions about who Jesus is and what he has done. In other words, Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus has done what he said he would do. Jesus is going to do what he promised he would do. And Holy Spirit is here on the earth and in your life to help framework to be put in place so that the conviction of that truth will just be there firmly rooted in your spirit. That Jesus is who he said he is. He has done what he said he would do, and he's going to do what he promised he would do. And just as Holy Spirit promises and works on our understanding and conclusion about that, he also works on convictions about who I am. Now that you have come to Christ, who are you? You know, there's a lot of talk about identity today, but the truth here is, what is God say about you? What is the identity God has given to you? How does he speak to you? And become convinced and convicted that I am who he says I am. Who are you? I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of the Lord. What? You're an overcomer. I am an overcomer? That's who I am. You see, and so Holy Spirit is here to reaffirm and build up in your life. You are who he says he is. You are who he says you are. And because of Holy Spirit in your life, you can do what he's called you to do. See, he doesn't just call you and say, okay, you're on your own, bud. Call me in a few years. Let me know how it's going. No. He calls you and sends you, and he equips you with what is necessary to get the work done. Because he has called you, and he will do what he promised he would do. He also convinces me about what I have because of him. What do I have? I have an inheritance. I have an inheritance in God through Jesus Christ. My inheritance is Jesus. So one day I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to look right into his eyes, and he's going to put his arms around me, and I'm going to bear hug him. Because he's my inheritance. I've received him as a result of what he has done. And then the Holy Spirit also convicts about God's plan and purpose for you. In the Old Testament, there's a story of Abraham, the father of the promise. He was given a promise that he was going to have a son. Abraham was given a promise that he was going to have a son. And that son came to be Isaac. Laughter is what Isaac means. But he was the promised son that God had given to Abraham. And Abraham wanted his son to have a bride. And so he called his servant Eliezer, and said, I want you to covenant with me now that you will go back to the land we came from, to my father's house, and find a bride for my son Isaac. Eliezer went ahead and agreed and made that vow and that covenant with Abraham. And he loaded up 10 camels full of gifts and all kinds of wonderful, valuable items. And he went to a strange land. And there he sought out and found a beautiful bride for his son, his master's son, Isaac. To bring that bride back home, he offered gifts of gold and rings and gems. And the young lady, Rebecca, said, I will go, not knowing who this Isaac was or what he looked like, but out of faith and out of a promise that he was looking for a bride. This young lady willingly went back to become the bride of the promised son. You see, Holy Spirit is putting together a bride. You being in the church today means that you are, or can be, if you aren't, a part of the bride of Christ. Jesus was the promised son, and he is looking for a bride, just like Adam in the Old Testament, in Genesis, in the creation story. God put a deep sleep on Adam, and out of his side comes a rib, and from that rib God created a woman that became bride to Adam. And just like that, out of Jesus Christ, the second Adam, from his side on the crucifixion on the cross, from the bleeding side of his blood and sacrificial death, comes a bride called the Church of Jesus Christ. The bride, you're a part of that bride as a result of that. And so Holy Spirit is here to convince you that you are beloved in the eyes of the Lord, that you are cared for and valued in him. And finally, the fifth one is he intercedes on our weaknesses. He intercedes where we are not able to. Remember what Jesus said in our scriptures to start with? He said, I have much more that I would say to you. But right now, you're not able to carry. You're not able to hold on to. You're not able to receive it. You see, there's weaknesses in our flesh that Holy Spirit comes and fills. And so Romans 8 says the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with God's word. How does he intercede when we're weak and we're frail? We don't have all the answers. Well, there's a couple examples real quickly I'll give them, and then we're almost done. Acts chapter 13, there was a gathering of prophets and teachers in Antioch. And as they were ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit began to speak. We don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke. Did he speak in an audible, mysterious way? Did he do that? More than likely, he spoke through someone who lifted their voice and says, I sense that the Holy Spirit is saying, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work. So as people were wondering, what do we do now? The church has been in Jerusalem, but it's time for it to expand and to enlarge itself and to go to all the nations. So the Holy Spirit becomes an impetus and says, I've got bigger things for you, and let's get the strategy going right now. And this is how we're going to start it. Barnabas and Saul, set them apart for the work that I have for them. And they went into a mission, began the worldwide missionary effort to reach the nations. And then in Acts chapter 15, there was a question about what's right, what do we do with between Jews and Gentiles here? How do we bring all this together? Apostle James quotes in Acts chapter 15 this phrase. It seems rather strange. He says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. See, the Holy Spirit brings wisdom into the congregation. It brings wisdom into the council. It brings understanding and clarity as to how do we move forward? What do we need to have happen next? So Holy Spirit will do these wonderful things on behalf of you and I, because he is what I would call the divine influencer. There's a lot of influencers on this social media today, but there's no influencer like the Holy Spirit. that can get in behind closed doors and talk to people's hearts, get into prison cells and talk to people, get into political office buildings and into their office and at their desk begin to speak to them, or in the middle of the night can go to anybody's bedroom and begin to speak in dreams and to talk to you about the reassurance of who he is and what he's done and who you are and what he's called you to do. I believe the Holy Spirit, Jesus, one of the last things he said on this earth in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you're going to receive power. Power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. For what? So that you can do what the Holy Spirit's doing. You can be a witness unto me. You can testify of the goodness of God. You can tell others about what he's done in your life and who he is and what he's done. Well, you may not feel like you can do that now, but when you release Holy Spirit, when you open your heart to Holy Spirit to become fully released in your life, all of a sudden your sails become filled with wind and you can go places you never thought you could go before. Would you stand with me right now? Let's just pray and we're going to worship the Lord as we close this service with the worship team leading us again in worship. But I just believe that God's got some special plans in store for you today and in the coming weeks, that he wants to reveal those to you. And so, Father, we just ask you to help us to open our heart and receive. Help us to receive this awakening that you're wanting to bring upon the earth. We just want to be a part of what this next thing is that you're going to do among the nations. We know you care and you are involved and you see all that is happening. But today we just want to do our part in our world so that we can impact your world. In the precious name of Jesus, we receive your blessings today. And thank you so much for giving us Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for sending the Holy Spirit to be the advocate that each of us need in Jesus' name. If you'd like to receive prayer before you leave today, or if you feel like, well, I just could use some encouragement over here, if you would, there'll be a team to pray for you. I'll be over there. Vicki will be over there. We'll be happy to pray with you about any concerns you may have. In Jesus' name, God bless you.